ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from the third canto, the tenth chapter, the visions of the creation, text number 30 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Atha param pravakshyami vamsham manvattarani cha evam rajapaluta shrashta kalpa adishu atmabhu hari shrijati omoga sankalpa atma eva atmanam atmana Atha param pravakshyami vamsham manvattarani cha evam raja pluta shrashta kapadishvat madhurari shrajatyamoga sankalpa Atmanam Atmana Atha param pravakshyami vamsham manvantarani cha evam raja pluta shrashta tathadishvatma bhurvami Shrajatyamoga sankalpa Atmaivatmanam atmana Atapparam pravakshyami Vamshan manvantarani cha Evam raja pruta shrashta Tathadishvatma bhurvani Shrajatyamoga sankalpa Atmaivatmanam atmana Atha
Here Param After Pravakshyami I shall explain Vamsyan Descendants Manvantarani Different advents of Manus Cha And Evam Thus Rajapluta Infused with the mode of passion Shrashta The creator Kalpa Adishu in different millenniums. Atmabhu self-advent. Hari the personality of Godhead. Shrijati creates. Amhoga unfailing. Sankalpa determination. Atma eva He himself, Atmanam, himself, Atmana, by his own energy. Translation and purport by his divine grace. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astatarasadashi Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Now I shall describe the descendants of the Manus. The creator, Brahma, is the incarnation of the passion mode of the personality of Godhead, creates the universal affairs with unfailing desires in every millennium by the force of the Lord's energy. Purport. The cosmic manifestation is an expansion of one of the many energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Creator and the created are both emanations of the same Supreme Truth. As stated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Janmad Yosho Yata. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports of the third canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Visions of the Creation. Om Gyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigarave Namah. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my beloved spiritual master who has come to me, who am in the darkness, the deepest, darkest ignorance, and is forcing my eyes open with his torchlight of knowledge. So, it is being made crystal clear here by Srila Prabhupada in his purport that everything is coming from God. This is not only the statement of the Bhagavatam, it is also the statement of Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvashapavavo matak sarvam pravartate. Everything is coming from God. So, what does that mean? If he is creating it, he is also the owner, naturally. It's coming from him, therefore he is the owner of it. And, what does that mean? That means he is the enjoyer of it. If you try to enjoy someone else's property, you get in trouble. Trespassing, or so many crimes you may be accused of. If you try to enjoy someone else's property, well, that's a very nice car, let me take it for a ride. You'll be arrested. Car thief. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam nanshantam vichyati. So Krishna is declaring that I am the enjoyer, I am the owner. So we have to understand, who is that person who is emanating everything from himself? In this vast cosmic manifestation, of which we are seeing only a tiny little insignificant fraction, even at night when we see all the stars, many of the stars of outer space, it's a nothing compared to the vast cosmic manifestation. It's one of the simply an insignificant energy of an energy of an energy of the Supreme. So the greatness of God is beyond our estimation, actually. It is beyond our calculation. But that supreme great, who's beyond our conception, has so kindly agreed to appear here in the form of Archa Vigraha, the deity form. So when we can see him, we can touch him. If we're pujari and we're doing the puja, we're touching the deity also. Touch him, see him, make flower garlands for him. Cook for him, sing for him, dance for him, you see, build a beautiful community for him, make the whole world Krishna conscious for him, preaching, you see. That person who is emanating everything has agreed to come. Now the atheist will say, no, it's just an idol. Or the pantheist will say, God is everywhere, so I don't need to go to the temple. I'll just worship him as the sunrise. They were criticized. Why are you going to the temple? Don't you know that God is everywhere? Well, if God is everywhere, he has to be here also. So what's the complaint? Actually, this is Krishna's very nice arrangement, the deity, appearing as the deity. Very nice arrangement. The postal service has a similar arrangement. They have the post office, and you go to the downtown of the city. There's the big post office where you can mail your letter. But that's not convenient for most people to go to the post office. So they put little post office boxes all over town. You can conveniently mail your letter down at the corner. You walk a half a block and mail your letter. So if the postal service can do such an arrangement, God cannot do for the convenience of his devotees. You see, you're not able to enter his spiritual world yet, not being sufficiently purified. No, that Supreme Lord, he has more mercy, more potency than any postal service. So they can distribute themselves through the post office box. Why the Lord can't distribute himself through the Archamurti? So Krishna does that. He appears in the deity form. And he can act fully as the Supreme Lord in that deity form. So it may appear to be a marble statue, but no, that is God himself. And sometimes he demonstrates to the devotees that I'm not simply a marble statue. There's one famous pastime, Shakshi Gopal. There was one village in South India, and in that village there was a poor Brahmin, and there was an elderly Brahmin from a wealthy family, and the two of them were going to Vrindavan. So the elderly man, he's having difficulty. There was no bus service, or you couldn't rent a sumo like you can in India now. So they were walking a great many days. It was troublesome for an old man to make that journey. But the young Brahmin was helping him very nicely along the way, day after day, giving all nice service to the elderly Brahmin to help him make that journey to Vrindavan. So they finally arrived in Vrindavan, and they were actually in the temple of deity Gopal. So the elderly Brahmin is feeling so happy. Now he has arrived in Vrindavan, he's having his darshan of Gopal, and he is thinking, if it wasn't for this young Brahmin, I would not even be here to see, have this wonderful darshan of my Lord Gopal. So he felt so grateful. He said, let me go back to the village, I will give you my daughter in marriage. The young Brahmin said, no, don't say that. In our village, because I'm a poor Brahmin, they consider me to be a different caste. It will cause a great uproar in the village if you try to arrange such a marriage. So please don't make such a promise. Especially in front of the deities, because in front of the deity, any birth you give, you must keep. He said, no, I'm so grateful. I promise you in front of the deity that I will marry and will give you my daughter in marriage when we return back to the village. So the young Brahmin said, so be it. So they went back to the village. And sure enough, as soon as it was announced that the daughter of the rich elderly Brahmin would be married to this poor Brahmin, it created a huge uproar in the village. I mean, it was controversial. Especially the son of the elderly Brahmin, who was an atheist, he made a big noise about this thing in the marketplace. That this young Brahmin, he went with my father to Vrindavan, he gave him some drugs, and now he's saying he gave all this false story against the young Brahmin. Now the young Brahmin, he was not thinking for his personal sense gratification, but he was simply thinking, this prayer was made in front of the deity Gopal, so an offense cannot be made to the deity. So this promise has to be fulfilled. So he thought, what to do? He's being publicly attacked by the girl's brother, the son of the elderly Brahmin. So he made a deal. He said, if I can bring the deity as witness that this promise was made, then you accept? Yes. The brother said yes. Of course, this is a huge deity. Big, heavy, marble deity. One cannot easily carry such a deity unless there was a big arrangement. We just have a simple Brahman who's walking. There's no way he can carry such a deity. So anyway, he's determined to go, so the promise will be kept. He goes to Vrindavan. He goes before the deity of Gopal. He says, "My dear Lord, this promise was made in your presence, and now, so there is no offense against you, this promise must be fulfilled. So you kindly come and witness that this promise was made in your presence." The deity said, "What do you mean? I'm a stone statue. I cannot move." And the Brahman, he said, "But my dear Lord, if you can talk to me, you can walk with me." And Brahma said, "In this way, by logic, he defeated Krishna." He was trying to argue, "I'm just a deity, I can't go anywhere." But the fact that he was talking showed it wasn't just a statue. He was talking to the Brahman. So the Brahman caught him. "You're talking, therefore you can also be walking." So in this way, the deity said, "Yes, all right, I accept your proposal. I will walk with you, but I will walk behind you. You must not look back. You must not look back. But you will know that I'm walking behind you with the sound of my ankle bells." So in this way, the young Brahman begins his long journey back to South India. And as he's going, he's hearing ching, ching, the sound of the ankle bells. Day after day, week after week, he's always hearing, "Ah, Krishna is there." He got near the village, actually. He got near the village, and he was almost there, and there was no sound. He didn't hear these ankle bells. Oh, my goodness. He turned around, and there was the deity standing there, but he would come no further. So he brought all the villagers, "Come, just see, Gopal has come, Gopal has come." So all the villagers came running, and they began worshipping. So that Gopal, he got a new name after them. He became known as Sakshi Gopal. The Gopal who bared witness to the promise that was made in his presence. So we should never think the deity is a marble statue. Krishna himself has appeared just to accept the loving service of his devotees. He actually reveals himself according to the loving mood of the disciple. You see. If one thinks this is a marble statue, then for you he is a marble statue. But if one actually understands and feels and realizes this is God himself, he has come. He is standing, mercifully coming here to accept my service. Then you actually are seeing Krishna. You're seeing God. So, we must always remember this. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles. He said, do not become puffed up. Remember, we're dealing with Krishna. He warned us that if we don't have the proper attitude, that there will come a day we'll think that this old man, referring to Prabhupada, that we'll think the old man came and he gave us this big burden. Prabhupada warned us that we could actually develop such a diseased attitude, that the old man came and gave us this big burden. So we have to be very careful, as Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up. Be very, very humble before the deity and serve him with all love, all devotion. God himself is giving us this opportunity to serve him, to love him, to take care of him. We fully give ourselves to Krishna, then what is the result? Krishna gives himself to us, actually. for one who is completely the property of Krishna. Krishna becomes his property. So in the material world, they're struggling to amass as much property as possible, as much money, as much land, as many followers, beautiful women. They're trying to accumulate objects of sense gratification. And even the most successful materialists, they lose everything. Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. They were much bigger materialists than any materialists we see on this planet now. And even they lost everything. But if you simply give yourself to Krishna, then you become the owner of that person who owns everything. So how can you be lacking in anything if you own the owner? Of course, Krishna is Ajita. That's not you, of course. You're Ajita Das. Krishna is Ajita. He is unconquerable, but he becomes Jita, or conquered by the devotee's love. The bhakta conquers God by love. God becomes his property. So, what can you have any material desire when you own the owner of everything? One has not, Prabhupada said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. You have no desire for anything except for Krishna. So this is the wonderful, wonderful world of pure Krishna bhakti we were discussing last night in our seminar. It's a wonderful world of pure Krishna bhakti. Srila Prabhupada has opened the door for us to that wonderful world of pure Krishna bhakti. He's inviting us in. He's giving us all facility to enter that wonderful world of pure devotional service. So we can actually meet that person face to face. It's described by this beginning verse of the Bhagavatam, Shanmanyasha Yataha. So, we should take full advantage of every golden minute that we have. This human form of life is a golden opportunity. For so many millions and millions of births, we were struggling in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes animals, sometimes plants, sometimes demigods, sometimes this, sometimes that. So now we have an incredible opportunity. We have a human birth, the best facility to achieve perfection. So now we should understand this is the most opportune moment in millions of lifetimes that I've had. Not only do I have a human birth, but I'm at the lotus feet of His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. What a golden opportunity we have. Let us capitalize on every single moment, this valuable time. So, are there any questions? Yes, Prabhupada.
This story of Shakshidatta, this one interesting point, maybe you could answer that. Krishna said, you'll know that I'm following you, I'll extend my ankle belts. So he was following, and then he didn't hear the ankle belts, so why did Krishna stop the ankle belts?
And what?
He was following, but
yes,
the sound of the ankle belts.
That's right.
But then all of a sudden you said you couldn't hear the ankle
belts. That's right.
So how is it that Krishna did that?
Why did Krishna do that?
He wasn't at the village, or...
Yeah, it's an interesting... Yeah, who can understand the mind of the Lord? Why Krishna didn't want to come all the way to the village? Maybe he... I mean, you know, we can't really know, but you know, certainly we could look at certain options. Maybe he wanted... Maybe he thought the top of that hill or wherever he stopped was a very nice spot for a temple, for his temple to be located. Who can say? There was some reason... I mean, that happened. It's like when they were moving Vrindadevi, when Aurangzeb was coming in, then Maharaj Jai Singh, he was rescuing all, he and his soldiers were rescuing the Vrindavan deities. And Vrindadevi, they got her all the way to the edge of Vraj and Kamyavan, and she became so heavy, she wouldn't move any further. She didn't want to leave and go to Rajasthan. She wanted to stay in Rajmundo. So there's different reasons sometimes why deities, you know, they're moving, and all of a sudden they stop and they won't go any further. It happened also in Varshana. They built a new temple for Radharani, but they couldn't move her. She wanted to stay. So who can understand the... But one thing we do understand is the deity has his own, his will. And we see also that was manifested through Prabhupada. And for example, sometimes it would be authorized to, you know, build a new temple and relocate the deities. But in Dallas, Prabhupada absolutely stood against it with Radhakala Chandra. They wanted to close the Gurukula, get a new location. Prabhupada said, you can do that, but the deities have to stay in Dallas. So Krishna told Prabhupada, I don't want to move. I want to stay right here. So who can understand how and why the Lord chooses to move or not to move? But it's... one thing for sure, it's his sweet, inconceivable lila. That's a fact. Questions, Martin? Yes.
I just wondered, is there a date for the Shakshigopa story, like how long the family was?
What about it?
How many centuries or thousands of years? How old is the story?
What was the date of the story?
Oh, the date? I don't know. It was many, many centuries ago. That deity was later moved near Puri to Katak. The deity was relocated. It is now being worshipped. I can't say how long ago. It was before the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometime before that.
Saying we should be constantly capitalizing on our opportunities, and it's easy to capitalize every now and again, but to constantly capitalize,
it's easy to capitalize when
occasionally.
Oh, occasionally,
but to constantly capitalize is a bit of a challenge.
Yes, it is.
Any secrets?
Yes, there are many insider secrets. Hot tips. And how to capitalize. One nice tip is, if you remember that verse, 10:10, Bhagavad Gita, you understand what are the fringe benefits of doing that. Steisham satati yuktanam bhajatam pratipurupakam dadami buddhi yogam tamvinamabhyantite. For those who are always focusing on bhakti, at every minute, they get directions from Krishna within the heart. They actually get clear understanding of what they are to do at every step. They are never in a state of confusion or bewilderment. So that's just to remember that that's the fringe benefit of focusing at every minute on Krishna. That will encourage one to do it. In other words, the old, what's in it for me? Program. If I can get something out of this austerity, all right. So, the materialistic mind may be in austerity sometimes. Not to indulge in some material thought that we may be attracted to from our past conditioning. It may be in austerity to cut that off. But if we know what we're going to get, what the reward is for doing that, then all right. I can lay aside that material. There's a lot of nice, not other nice insiders' secrets. If you take advantage of Govinda Das, he has given a very nice tool for keeping oneself fixed. That nice bhajan. Bhajavure mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanada Mindore. My dear mind, You simply engage yourself in the devotional service of that beautiful Govardhanadhari, that son of Maharaj, who is standing here now in New Govardhan. You simply engage yourself in his service. You've wasted too many millions of lifetimes in running after the will of the wisp of sense gratification. Now, go for the real nectar. You see? If you become expert, just like a mother training the child, you see? The mind, it is not a child. It wants to think about so much garbage thing, about sex, or about money, or about prestige, you see. Mind is not a child. But we have to be like a mother, a very determined, loving, and patient mother who wants to make that child an ideal child and does everything possible. Every minute, always watching that child and guiding that child and giving her love to that child. So we have to be like good mothers and take that child of the mind and always being very merciful. That's one angle. Of course, the other angle is given by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know the program. 100 times, take the shoes in the morning, 100 times beating your mind, and the broomstick in the evening, 100 times. You have to show your mind who is the boss. Time for boot camp, shoe camp for the mind. You see? So there's many, many different ways you can do it. We have so many nice bhajans and mantras and prayers and philosophical points. And there's just 1,001 different ways you can bring that mind back. Yato yato nishchalati manascham chalamastadam. It's a fickle rascal, that mind. But you can outsmart it because it's stupid. The mind is stupid. It doesn't have any intelligence. But you do, you see. So you can outsmart your mind. Keep it always engaged in Krishna consciousness. It's interesting that song, Bhajavar Mesa song, Prabhupada gave an inside meaning for that last verse. You know the last verse. Shravana kirtana smanana bandana. And that's in this way. Prabhupada explains in his purport that the mind may be saying, Govindadas, you're taking away all of my enjoyment. Now what will I do? And then Govindadas says, no problem, you just do this. You hear about Krishna, you chant Krishna, you remember Krishna. You'll have plenty of things. My dear mind, do not worry. I will give you plenty of wonderful things to fill up your 24 hours. Don't worry. This way Prabhupada explained why Govindadas lists the nine different Navavidha Bhakti list is given in the final verse of that bhajan. So we have ample facility. It really boils down to higher taste. It's always going to be more pleasurable to be Krishna conscious than not to be Krishna conscious. The mind tricks us into thinking, let me take a little break for a little sense gratification. But that's a dirty trick of the mind. Dirty trick. Don't fall for those dirty tricks. You see? You have to be more intelligent than the mind. Just keep yourself fixed in Nava Vidha Bhakti. In any one of those nine ways, you keep that mind fixed. And you will achieve an opulence which goes beyond the demigod. You will become the owner of Krishna. You will become your personal property. Any other questions? Yes, Maharaj.
Did Prabhupada
what?
Mentioned that Prabhupada said that we should go
we should guard against
the mentality
of thinking in the future that Prabhupada, he was just that man or came.
Oh yeah, that's right, he warned us. They will think this, the old man came and he, yeah, it was an amazing lecture, I heard the tape. He was saying that, you know, we'll think the old man came and he gave us this big burden. So he said, don't be puffed up, remember you are dealing with Krishna. It's a very important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if you said anything more about that, you know, what
there's a whole lecture, I don't know where it is, but if you give me your email address, I could give you the entire lecture. Just give me your email address after the class, and I can look it up in the database and send you the whole lecture, so you can dive into the nectar. Any other questions? All right then. So tonight we're having another seminar. Loving the Vaishnavas. So we thank you very much for your wonderful kindness to allow us to be here with you in spite of our many faults. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.